Today is Exodus 20, verse 12, or if you prefer, Deuteronomy 5:16. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. That is our text today. Now, just a couple of introductory notes and then I'll get in the text, but one of these from Dr. Richard Land. Whatever you may think of him, this is just some statistics. And then one introductory statement by Dr. John MacArthur. And so let me give this one by Dr. Land. He has better research than I do on these things. Currently, the U.S. marriage rate is at an all-time low. Almost a quarter of our minor children now live with just one parent and no other adult. The appalling number is three times the rate of all other countries in the world. As Americans, we need to understand that what is happening to the family in America cannot be described as normal by any method of justification. Nearly 500,000 minor children live in foster care across the nation. The illegitimacy, or if you prefer King James, the bastardy rate of America as a whole has risen to 41%. And in the black community, it is approaching 75%. In 1960, there was virtually no significant ethnic difference in the nation's 5% illegitimacy rate. So it was the same in all races, but now it has grown more so in the black community than in the white community. More than half of our nation's children have lost at least one parent in the home by the time they are 6 years old. This is true despite the fact that study after study has revealed that the single greatest advantage a child can have in America today is to be born into a home where the parents are married and stay married together. If a child is born into such an intact family, no matter what affluence or lack thereof, they are far more likely to finish high school, graduate from college, not be sexually or physically abused, not have children out of wedlock, and not have an abortion, and not experiment with illicit drugs, and to get married, and to stay married, than their non-intact family cohorts. If a child is born in the bottom 20% of the American class structure, that child has a four-time higher chance of escaping that class status and joining the top 20% if, and only if, their parents stay married and stay married to each other. About two decades ago, you'll know this illustration, but let me just read it for the sake of the argument. About two decades ago, there was this popular analytical model called the frog in the kettle. The idea was that if you dropped a frog in a kettle of boiling water, he would immediately jump out of the boiling water to safety. However, if you put the frog in the kettle of water and began to heat it gradually to boiling, by the time the frog felt uncomfortable enough to jump, his muscles would be paralyzed by the heat and be unable to jump. Dr. Land says, "I am sorely afraid that the parable of the frog and the kettle is being acted out in American society today. We have seen the family and the American society in gradual decline for many years. In other words, the temperature has gradually been rising to the point that has become increasingly disturbing. Now, as the collapse of the family as the basic building block of human civilization accelerates at an ever-expanding rate, are we now paralyzed from leaping out of the boiling water and into safety for ourselves and for our nation? Fortunately, or perhaps unfortunately, the choice may no longer be up to us, but instead to citizens impacted by the precipitous decline. I pray to God that this is not the case, but that the increasing speed of the decline is vastly disturbing. Now, secondly, Dr. John MacArthur spoke this week and shortened it drastically. Dr. MacArthur warned that the culture is systematically designed and, quote, weaponized to destroy children. He stressed that God will severely judge parents who fail to raise their offspring in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. He says, what we are facing today is fierce, he confesses. But of all the things that disturb him the most, this culture, all the horrific, sinful, wretched, wicked, corrupt influences that go on in this culture, he says the thing that distresses him the most is the intentional war on children. Abortion, and this number's too low, this is the reported case, abortion has resulted in 62.5 million babies slaughtered in the womb. 62.5 million babies slaughtered in the womb. And our country is okay with that. That's since Roe versus Wade. But MacArthur adds to that, adding that if a child does make it to birth, as soon as they come out of the womb, they will begin to be bombarded with anti-Christian teaching that is in our world. Quote, it is likely that the child will be sent to the public school. They will come under the influence of those whose agenda is anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-Scripture. Quote, as you know, our country and the politicians who lead it are making laws that are devastating to children, and the laws they're making are under the pressure of sexual freedom, homosexuality, transgenderism. The desire of the political framework of our world is to make that normal and punish people who speak against it with laws in the category of hate speech. So it's so pushed in our country that if you say something about homosexuality or something about transgenderism or something in those regards, you're the problem. That's our culture. The lies of systematic racism and the race hustlers dominate the ideologies of universities and even churches. MacArthur goes on to say the entertainment industry, social media, and big tech literally pump out things that destroy children. Children under a relentless assault by all the forces of evil, and they are defenseless. And we have a society and a culture that wants to make sure that those who are pumping out this destruction are free to keep doing it without restraint. What is being indoctrinated into the children of America is this, that they will see transgender, homosexuality, racial issues as normal, and that they won't dare lift a voice and say, that's sin. It's happening. He goes on to say children are defenseless when their parents sell them to a human trafficker who drops them 8 to 10 foot over a wall. Notice, into Sodom and Gomorrah. And when the Disney Corporation creates characters that are transgender to seduce children into accepting wickedness as normal. And when parents insanely offer their children gender identity options. That's insanity. Children are now under assault. It's the God-given responsibility of parents to raise children to fear and to love the Lord. Quote, God judges when one generation fails its responsibility to pass on righteousness to the next. Last quote by MacArthur. We're going to have to answer to God for the little ones He gives us.
When they arrive, they are His. And our life commitment is to make sure that as they grow, that we influence them. And that they come to faith in Christ. That's raising your children in the fear and the nurture of the Lord. And dad and mom, that's your responsibility. Not mine. I've got my own. Not my fault your kids are what they are. That's on you. It's your responsibility to raise them in the fear and admonition of the Lord. That's the God-given ministry that you have. And I pray that you would uphold it. And before you check out of this sermon, you can start today, even if you've squandered the last 20 years. All right, here we go. Exodus 12, Deuteronomy 5, same thing. Honor your father, your mother, that your days will be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Also, let me add, Ephesians, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Let me add Colossians. Children, this message is for you. Obey your parents. Obey your parents. In what? Everything. That's what the text says. Obey them in everything. Get off of your jolly well pride and look your father in the eye and your mother in the eye and say yes sir and yes ma'am and no sir and no ma'am and give them the honor they deserve. Even if you don't think they deserve it, it is right by God. You speak disrespectfully of your father and your mother, I'm telling you, you disrespect your God. Obey your parents and everything. You say, why in the world would I do that? Because the rest of the verse says this, it pleases the Lord. Pleases the Lord. Everyone, honor is the word in Exodus and Deuteronomy. Honor. Show high regard for. Revere. It comes from the Hebrew word kabod, the weight of this honor that would be bestowed upon another for the office. If not so much for the person, for the office itself has been ordained by God. This office of father, this office of mother. This is, and look, if you're like 50 like me today, and you've already checked out of the sermon because you've grown up, you don't get a pass here. You still got a dad and you still got a mom, even if they're dead. You have to honor them in their grave. Leviticus swaps it a little bit just to emphasize Mother's Day, if you will. Every one of you shall revere your mother. Jesus, he put mother in Leviticus before father. In Exodus and Deuteronomy, he puts father first. But in Leviticus, you shall revere his mother and his father, and you shall keep my Sabbath. I am the Lord your God. Why is that he would switch that? I think it's because of this. When rebellion starts in the child's heart, he will start with the mother. And if he gets away with the rebellion and the dishonoring of his mother, eventually he'll get brave enough to disrespect and dishonor his father. And when he gets brave enough to dishonor and disrespect his father, he'll move on to every other authority that will be placed in his life. Whether it be police, whether it be fire, whether it be school teacher, whether it be government, whether it be the boss. Once they've crossed the line of dishonoring mom and moved to dishonoring father, then it just Katie barred the door because they have become a disrespectful and a dishonorable child who is perverse in their heart. You don't believe me? Shop at Walmart. Honor your father and mother in word. Listen. Yes, sir. Don't classify me as archaic, as stuck in the wood, because I somehow still live in the 60s. I was barely born in the 60s, but oh, he's so ancient in times, he needs to modernize. I'm not modernizing because I only have one book. You should say yes, sir, to your father, and you should say yes, ma'am, to your mother in every circumstance and give them the honor that is due to them. Look, there's a guy by the name of Solomon. And Solomon was the king of the entire nation. And his mother comes in and makes a request of him. And the king says to her, make your request, mother. I will not refuse you. Your mom. In a very real sense, he honors her as his mother. As the king, he didn't have to. But understandably, he did rightly in this episode. By the way, it's not only in their presence, your word, it's in their absence. tell you about how much respect I have people who talk negatively about their father and mother. I'm done. Because your whole character has been revealed. If you talk about your father and your mother behind their back, you've already lost all integrity with me. Why? Because a man of integrity would always speak in the highest regards of honor and respect when referring to his father or mother. Even if his father or mother was a drunk, or if his father or mother was a rebellious person, they would still speak in honor if they had any ounce of integrity, because it's God's design for the family. I know it's 2021, but somebody ought to at least say amen. You know this is true. Action. Here's an odd one. Joseph is the prince of the land. Joseph's in charge of everything. Joseph is the man. You want food? Go to Joseph. You want something to drink? You go to Joseph. You want permission? You go to Joseph. Joseph's in charge of everything. But when his father comes, he falls on his father's neck and weeps. And he treats his father like his father's the prince. You learn something from Joseph. I'll give you another one by Solomon. And this is one you need to learn. And I challenge any kid in this room to learn it. I don't care how old you are. Solomon the king, when Bathsheba, his mother, come in, you know what he did? He stood up and honored his mother. Bathsheba went to the king to speak to him on behalf of Adonijah. And the king rose and he bowed down to her. You see a picture of the king of the nation getting up and bowing before his mother to show her honor. When's the last time you in this room showed that type of honor to your mother? All you said was, can you wash my clothes? You cook my dinner. Your mother's not your slave. She's to be honored and revered for birthing you and revering and raising you up in the home. And you ought to give her honor for what she has done. Yeah, I have a friend named Dr. Allen, and we fight tooth and nail over limited atonement, that's for sure. But I went and I heard Dr. Allen preach this week. But this is not about his preaching. This is about the reality you can learn from anybody. And so we have all these tables, and Dr. Allen's sitting at his table. And I go over and I'm having a conversation with Dr. Allen. It's just one-on-one, nothing started. We're just having a conversation. Two ladies come to the table. We're in the middle of a conversation. Dr. Allen gets up, stands up. He waits for them to be seated and he sits back down. I can learn something here. It wasn't even his mama. But this is the integrity of respect. When a woman comes to the table, stand up and give her honor and let her have a seat and help her with her chair. Where did we lose this stuff at? What happened in the 60s? What happened in the 70s? Where'd this stuff go? Where do you get off thinking the world revolves around you when you can't show honor and respect to your own mother? What is wrong with this country? You look at our country and say, what's going on? It started in the living room. And you're running your mouth to your mom's face. It's a shame. It cannot go well. It cannot. It will not go well for children who do not honor their parents. You know what God says? He says this in the book of Deuteronomy through the mouth of Moses. Cursed, damned be anyone who dishonors his father or his mother. This is God's position. Who does God think he is? He thinks he's God because he is. Obedience, word, action, obedience. Obey your parents in everything. Why? It pleases the Lord. You notice Jesus is the king of the entire galaxy. He's the sovereign over all things. You do know that, right? He's not up for election. It's just one office and he holds it permanently. This is a radical thought, is it not? And when he, Jesus, went down with them, his parents, to Nazareth, you know what the text says? He was submissive to them. The king of the universe submissive to Joseph and Mary. And yet we have a generation of children, even in this room, who think that they're so good, they don't have to submit to anybody. They don't submit to a pastor. They don't submit to a government. They don't submit to a police officer. They don't submit to a school teacher. And they don't even submit to their own mother and father. It's horrid. And God's Word says very clearly that they shall be cursed. Jesus was submissive to his parents. I tell you what they need, children today. You can quote me on this. Children need a good whooping with a belt. I know I'm old and getting older, but I'm telling you, Matt Dillon will clear up a lot of your theology. You watch Gunsmoke, you might learn something. Here's a little kid run away from home. He comes there in Dodge City. And that kid is a hell on wheels kid. He's just stealing stuff, throwing pies. He's off the charts. And he's about to drive Matt Dillon crazy, so Matt Dillon locked him up in the jail cell. He can't lock up kids. He said, I'm tired of messing with you. He locked him up. Kid takes a coffee cup banging on the bars like this. And man, Matt, he's done. He take that boy out of that jail cell and he took his belt off and he wore out his backside. That boy had a whole new frame of mind. When the dad and mom finally come in town, they had about 10 kids. And they were all just like that kid. And they went in the jail and said, is he here? Yeah, here he is. And the kid come out and the dad said something. And the kid goes, yes, sir. And the dad's like, what in the world? He said something else. The kid said, no, sir. He said, go over here. And the kid went over there. And the kid looked at Matt Dillon and said, what'd you do? He said, let me tell you something. If you take that hand of yours and exercise it on the backside, you might get some respect out of your children. So go outside, they take all 10 kids off the wagon, line them up, set down one by one, he bends them over the knee and he whooped their bottom. You know, their whole attitude was changed. Began to respect their father. Oh, in our world you can't whoop them. Really now. You want to ask Samantha about that? She's here this morning. When did we somehow subvert the word of God that we can't discipline our children? When's the last time? God's word hasn't changed. They need a loving father with a firm hand that would discipline them when they're in error to teach them the consequences of sin. Well, me and Jack agree. Listen to the counsel of your parents. If anybody's listening, hear my son, your father's instruction and forsake not your mother's teaching. You should develop a lifelong habit of asking counsel from your parents. You ought to have counsel. You ought to adhere to the counsel that is given by your parents. Look, I'm 52 years of age. My dad and mom are 80. But still to this day, I ask them things. Why? Because they're my parents and they give good counsel. If I was to go do something that was of any substance, I'm asking my dad. I'm asking my mom. Why? Because you know what? If my dad made it to 80 years of age, he probably knows something more than I know. I tell you what, children that don't obey their parents are like Eli's sons. You know what the text says about Eli's sons? They were worthless. You know what it also says? They would not listen to Eli. You met a guy in the Bible by the name of Jacob, 40 years old. You know, you'd think at 40, you're on your own, right? And you go do whatever you want to do. Jacob wants to get married at 40. Well, at 40, what do you do in America if you want to get married at 40? I don't know, go down to the bar, drink a beer, meet a woman, and go to the JP and get married, I guess. Do whatever you want. But it's not the way it works. Jacob's 40 years old. He says, Dad, what do you want me to do? I want you to go over here. I want you to get a woman out of this tribe. I'll send someone, and you got to marry in this tribe, and you got to do it like this. Yes, sir. Respect your counsel, and I won't marry this one, and I won't marry that one. I'll do exactly what you said, because Dad, you probably know more than I know. My judgment would be clouded by my emotions. Yeah, you should ask your parents. Any kid in here, teenage kid in here, anybody in here that's not married, ask your parents, and your dad says, I don't think that's a good fit for you. Listen to him. Listen to him. Might save you a world of hurt. Another way to honor your parents, it's getting closer for me, and it's real for some of you. You take care of your parents when they're old. One day Samantha's going to have to change my diaper. Joshua not doing it, I'm telling you. Joseph provided for his father, his brothers, and his whole household. Thomas Watson, the great Puritan. Parents brought up children when they were young, and children ought to nourish their parents when they are old. Why should you honor your parents? Number one, because God commanded you to. That's the number one reason. It pleases the Lord, and Ephesians 6:1 says that it is right. And it's the first commandment with a promise. Think about this. You get to the fifth commandment and you get one that is accompanied with a promise. God says, this is what you're commanded to do, but you do that and this is what I promise is going to happen. Think of the blessing of that. You may live long in the land that your Lord, your God is giving you. This live long in the land is a Hebrew phrase that means fullness of God's blessing. What am I saying? You will never experience the fullness of God's blessing as long as you live in rebellion to your parents. To dishonor parents is to shorten life. I'll give you a graphic shortening of life by the man by the name of Absalom. He sought to deprive his father of his life and sought to deprive his father of his crown. You know what the Bible says? He didn't live out half his days. Now, here, I love the way Thomas Watson does this, but the mule he rode upon, being weary of his burden. Absalom riding a mule. Mule got weary of his burden. He left Absalom hanging in the oak betwixt heaven and hell. Betwixt heaven and earth. Betwixt heaven and earth. So as not fit to tread upon one and not fit to enter the other. Didn't live out half his days as he has dishonored his father and his mother. Command comes with promise and ought to give you encouragement. Obedience is met with a reward by God every time. Look, parents are responsible. I'm responsible. So are you. You can't make excuses for it. We're responsible to teach the gospel to our children. We're responsible to adhere to the teaching. Proverbs says it this way. Hear, my son, your father's instructions. Note this. He doesn't say, listen to your pastor's instructions, or in our day, listen to the youth minister's instructions, or listen to the worship leader's instructions. Notice the responsibility. The father gives instruction to his little girl. His father gives instruction to his son. When a question comes up, and the father says something, and the son says, man, all that's wrong, but my dad said it, so that's what I'm going to do. Listen to the instruction. And children, don't ever forsake the teaching of your mother. Or you can say it again in Proverbs, my son, do not forget my teaching. Let your heart keep all my commands for length of days and years of life. The father here wanting the prosperity of the offspring. Listen. The next generation is at stake. Teaching the gospel produces respect. Adherence to the gospel brings blessings to the next generation. I've heard all of it. I don't have time to pursue it. How they took prayer out of school. They took the commandments out of the school. You and I both know there was a problem long before that because they stopped praying at home. They stopped understanding the Ten Commandments at home. You're worried about what they're doing at the schoolhouse. You haven't done anything in your own house. And then we want to condemn the school for not being religious. Whoever said they were supposed to be? Your home was supposed to be religious. You shouldn't have to depend upon the school teacher to teach them the commandments or teach them how to pray. They should have learned that from their daddy. Should have learned that from their mom at home. Honoring parents sets a pattern for honoring other authorities. I'll skip this very fastly, but I'll go through quickly. But David, look at the way that he spoke of Saul. And Saul was out of line. He honored the position, the office. Even though Saul was trying to murder him, he still spoke with great reverence. Or even think about the prophets. Think about how Elisha would speak about Elijah. My father, utmost respect. Young preachers today, oh, I know more than the preachers. I can do anything. It's not the way Elisha would speak about Elijah. Honor, respect, father, father. Or even the apostles. They birthed many in the gospel and they were considered father figures over their spiritual offspring. Or more complicated for our day is the government. What are we supposed to do with this wacky, God-corrupted government we have that's godless in so many ways? Well, the Word of God says this. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every institution. Whether it be to the emperor as supreme, or on and on it goes. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the emperor. What about your boss? My boss is a jerk. I don't say that very often because I'm a pastor. It's dangerous business. The Bible says, bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart as you would Christ. This is complicated for you because you're American and most of you are white. This is complicated. But listen to me. This is what God's Word, this is being this specific. Let's just say you went to Harvard and got you a degree, and you're so important you think everybody ought to bow when you walk into the room. But you're in a position where you're working for somebody, and let's say your boss comes into the room, and you're overqualified, you got all your degrees hanging in your office, and your boss comes in and says, I need my trash taken out. What's your response? You get up out of your chair and you say, yes, sir, let me go get it. Well, that's beneath me. No, it's not. Because you honor the authority that's over you. You take out his trash and you give him a new trash bag and you do it with joy because you do it as serving unto the Lord Christ. That's the position. Because it's a matter of integrity. It's a matter of your heart. You show this type of honor. I guarantee you, God will know. God will bless. What about your pastor? I don't want to belabor this, but I just tell you what the Word of God says. Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor at preaching and teaching. You ought to give them double honor. Or you can do Hebrews. Obey your leaders and submit to them. Why? Because they're keeping watch over your soul. How we honor our Heavenly Father. Think about Jesus. If you're getting tired of the sermon, don't worry. My voice is tired too, but I'll get you out of here. You got 15 minutes. Hang on. You need to hear it because ain't nobody else going to tell you this. How we honor our Heavenly Father, Jesus' example. This is how Jesus speaks of His Heavenly Father. I've come down from heaven not to do my own will. This is the Son of God saying, it doesn't revolve around what I want. I didn't come down here on earth to do what I want to do. I came down here to do the will of Him who sent me. His whole position is an honor of the Father, even though He's equal with the Father. The one who sent me is with me. He's not left me alone. Why? For I always do the things that are pleasing to Him. That's what He does. Jesus answered, I don't have a demon. What's wrong with you people? I honor my Father. And you dishonor me. Here's what's happening to the mind right here. Unless you're just playing on your phone or something. But here's what's happening in the mind. Well, if I had a father like Jesus did, I'd do it. You do. And He said to honor those that are authority over you. Well, and if God was my Father, God is your Father if you're a Christian, and your Father says to show honor to those in authority in these offices over you. So if you're going to be like Jesus, then there's our answer, submission and obedience. Wise men. You know any wise men? I know a few. And they showed up at a birth scene, and there was a little baby, and they took the best they had and they gave it to show honor to the Son of God. That's what wise men do. They show honor. Yeah, excuse my language, but it's Thomas Boston. Thomas Watson's language. And he says, standing in defense of His name is how we honor Him. It's a dishonor to our Father in heaven when there's an opportunity to speak for Him and we don't. John 12, nevertheless, even the authorities believed in Him, but for fear they wouldn't confess it. Because they were afraid of getting put out of the synagogue. So they kept their mouth shut. And so by withholding their words, they didn't honor the Father. Thomas Watson said, they are bastard sons who are ashamed to own their own Heavenly Father. Illegitimate, if you like that word better. That wouldn't stand with their words in honor to the Heavenly Father. Give glory to the Lord in all that you do. That's how we honor. Paul says it best, by the grace of God, I am what I am. The grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God in me. Defer all success to glory to God. Defer it all to Him. celebrate His praises. My mouth is filled with His praise, the psalmist says. Every creature in heaven singing to Him who sits on the throne, to the Lamb, blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. Let us honor the Father of heaven. You can also honor Him by suffering for Him. Is He worthy of being suffered for? Paul did. Paul knew it. Paul says, from now on, let me cause no trouble. I bear on my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Peter knew it. What credit is it if when you sin or are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure? Now this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. And we should know it. It is better to suffer for doing good than for, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. Again, I remind you, it is dangerous to dishonor your parents. Look at Christ, the way He honored His Father. It's dangerous to dishonor your parents if they're in the grave. If you're old and they live 3 hours away or 10 hours away, wherever they may be, you represent their name wherever they are. However you speak of them, however you act, you're carrying a family name. And you're either doing so by honoring them or dishonoring them. If you're hanging out at the bar, getting drunk, and acting like a jerk, you're representing your mother's name, your father's name. You're out prostituting and running around, acting crazy, driving like an idiot, yelling at people and cussing people out. You're representing your mother and your father when you do all of it. You're representing everybody. If you claim Christianity, you're representing God when you do this stuff. It's dangerous to do this. I mean, you say, what do you mean by dangerous? This is what I mean. The eye that mocks his father and scorns to obey his mother will be picked out by the ravens in the valley and be eaten by the buzzards. It's God's word. Proverbs 30, verse 17. The ark of God was captured and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, died. They were worthless and they wouldn't listen to their father. Cursing your parents is dangerous. Bring out of the camp the one who cursed. Let him be heard. Let all who heard him lay their hands on him. Let the congregation stone him to death. It was the penalty under God's design of the law of Moses. When you acted like that in regards to your parents, the penalty was severe. Because the rebellion was severe. It met with severe consequences, and it was God's design. You say, that may be too extreme for you to hear, but you can't deny that that was the reality of God and the way He designed it in the covenant community of Israel. That's the way they functioned in Israel. And when children were like this, they were executed. Now, I know we're not under that law anymore. I know we're under the law of America, but it doesn't change the reality of the seriousness of which God took rebellion against parents. Deuteronomy 21, if a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and though they discipline him, they will not listen. He will not listen to them. His father and his mother shall take hold of him. Amen. And they shall bring him to the elders of the city at the gate of the place where he lives. And they shall say to the elders of the city, this is our son. He's stubborn. He's rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He's a glutton and he's a drunkard. And all the men of the city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall purge the evil from your midst, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Note the last word, and fear. There's none left in America. There's none left. Kids are rebelling against their parents, cursing their parents, acting like complete insane rebels, if you will, and they have no fear. Why? Because there's no line. There's no discipline. There's no repercussion. There's no confrontation. There's no genuine biblical love. All that is going on in our country in a whole is an enabling of wicked children to be wicked. My son gets drunk and gets thrown in jail. You can be assured he will not be bailed out by me. Amen. You wouldn't bail out your own son? No, he can sit in there till the cows come home and reap the consequences that he might learn something. But I'm not bailing him out. You dug the hole. You sit in it. You say, well, that's mean. No, that's love. Because love will take and see the greater good by seeing the kid go through discipline that they might learn something. Word to parents.
how you should relate to your children, bring them up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. Don't provoke them to anger. Don't be overbearing upon them. Train them up in the way they should go. They get old, they won't depart from it. Thomas Watson again, the more your children fear God, the more they will honor you. If they don't fear God, they won't honor you. You desire honor as a parent? Do you? You want your kids to say yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am? You want your kids to sit down when you tell them to sit down? You want them to go out and get you something when you tell them to get you something? You want them to go to the kitchen and do something? You want them to clean their room and you tell them to clean the room? You want that to happen? You want those type of things? Keep your authority. Keep your authority. The kids do not have the authority of the home. We're not buddies here. We're not friends here. We're not trying to build some kind of social network here. You're a father. You're a mother. And they are your offspring. And you have the authority to say no and to say yes. Stop kidding yourself in some kind of weird world. You can take a cell phone and you can bash it with an 8-pound hammer and you can look your kid in the eye and say, I will never spend a penny on you again to have you a phone when you live like that. You live like that, you buy your own phone. Well, you can't do that. Don't tell me I can't. I'm the father of my home, and if that's the consequence, that'll be the consequence. You say, well, what? My kid did this and this, and I found out they were drinking. They just lost their car, and they'll never have another one purchased by me. Liddy, you find Liddy drinking a beer, and you tell me the car's gone forever, and she'll pay her own way for the rest of the things she does. You say, that's harsh. No, that's biblical love, because love would be caring enough to stop it and have consequences to express that love. But we live in a godless society of America that just keeps enabling people to do sinfulness. And it's full in the church as well. A child indulged and humored in wickedness will be a thorn in the parent's eye. David spoiled Adonijah. His father had never at any time displeased him by saying, why have you done thus and thus? Never confronted him and asked him why he was going wrong. And look at Adonijah's life. What a shame he was unto his father. It's because David gave up his parental authority. He eventually became a grief to his father and he was false to the crown. Provide for your children. Children are not obligated to save up for their parents, but parents for their children. 2 Corinthians 12:14. I tried, it didn't work. I was going to leave all my inheritance to Festus, but they won't let me do that. So I'm trying to save you guys something that you'll have in order that you'll have when I'm gone. Don't provoke your children to wrath. I don't have time to cover all of that. Let me say this and we'll finish up. Do not strike without cause or punish in excess to the fault. I'm not saying beat your kids. That's different than discipline for sure. Don't be like Saul. Hurled his spear at Jonathan to strike him. Jonathan knew his father was determined to put David to death. He rose from the table in fierce anger and ate no food. He was grieved because his father had disgraced him. That's bad. That's not how you discipline your children. You don't throw spears at them, throw rocks at them and kick them. That's not what we're talking about here. Godly, biblical discipline that has consequences. Specifically on the backside with a belt would be nice. It would be the loving thing to do. You know, you hear this stuff, but it's true. And you say, well, so-and-so's going to give you a paddling. Mr. Clifton gave me so many paddlings at school. It's ridiculous. One time I took a basketball, and a guy made me mad, and I hit him in the nose with the basketball. It was something like that. Busted his nose, you know. I mean, I was just a jerk. And Mr. Clifton, in my gym shorts, those little spandex-looking gym shorts, those real tight ones, he made me bend over, took a wooden paddle, and hit me on the backside. Then he had the nerve to ask me how it felt. I said, well, it didn't feel any good, but it ain't nowhere near what I'm going to get when my daddy finds out. I knew it was going to happen. My dad found out I acted like that at school. He goes, I mean, something happened at home. But it was genuine. It was true. What's the result? I respect my father. I'm not going to say a word about him negatively.
I go home tonight and see my daddy sitting in his living room, and I walk in that house, and my dad says, I want a cup of coffee. You better get out of the way because I'm making him a cup of coffee. Same thing with my mom. He said, well, isn't there a lot of faults with dad and mom? You mind your own business. I'm going to honor my parents. If you desire honor from your children, you should pray much for them. Encourage and praise them for the things that are done right. Fathers, I know this is hard for you. When's the last time you told your daughter, your son, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. You're doing well. And I love you. Wouldn't that be refreshing to hear? Dad or mom, I just love you. I'm proud of what you're doing. It's good. Give them an example worth following. Don't tell them to be sober while you're drunk. Don't tell them to fear God while you live an immoral life. Don't tell them to read their Bibles and pray and witness and worship while you don't. If the saying be true, he's his father's child, I pray that the child will be holy. Conclusion. Does your relationship with your father and mother bring glory to God? A man once complained, quote, youth today love luxury. They have bad manners, contempt for authority, no respect for older people, and they talk nonsense when they should work. Young people do not stand up any longer when adults enter the room. They contradict their parents. They talk too much in company. They guzzle their food. They lay their legs on the table. And they tyrannize their elders. Who said that? Socrates, 400 years before Christ. His description of young people then was the same as it is now. Young people are like this. It's why parents must train up their children in the way that they should go. We should honor our parents. The implications is parents ought to lead properly. The responsibility is upon both. This nation is going to completely self-destruct if the family is not regained. Whatever our country may do, whatever God's judgment may bring, the application is this. What will you do to regain your family? Because here's the deal. I can't fix America. I can't. But I still have influence over a wife and a 16-year-old girl in my home. I'm going to do what I can. And wherever you are in this spectrum, you do what you can to reclaim the family. God's a good father, I remind you. Christ is a perfect substitute. Repent of your sins. Believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one who died and rose from the dead on the third day. He was seen by over 500 people at one time. You must repent and believe and be baptized for the remission of sins. Obey the Heavenly Father and learn how to give respect and honor to those who are in authority over you. It should begin today. That's how we apply truth, as we put it into practice when we hear it. Father in heaven, thank you. As Brother Jeff comes to lead us in song, Lord, thank you for these good, clear reminders of how we are to live. Lord, help us to get past ourselves, to open the door for mom, for dad, to show him respect by saying yes, sir, or no, sir. To look a man in the eye, respect and honor. To give up a seat. Take a lesser seat. God, teach Christian people humility. That they could show honor while honor is due. And God, that you'll bless them for their obedience. We pray these things by your Spirit in Christ's name. Amen.